Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelzang. We have an amazing show today, one that I know you're just going to love because I loved talking to this man. He's a longtime friend. He's well known in the industry. Our guest today, of course, is David Lawrence, the 17th. Let me introduce David a little bit, and then we'll get into this really fantastic interview that I had with him. David Harvard Lawrence, the 17th, is an American television actor and film actor, voice talent, network radio host, internet entrepreneur, podcaster, demo producer, teacher, and author. He's best known for his role as the Puppet Master on NBC's sci-fi series, Heroes. He was also the host of the daily David Lawrence Show and Weekend Online Tonight program. Both of those were nationally syndicated radio talk shows that revolved around pop culture and the high-tech lifestyle, two of his real passions. Just as a bit of information for you, the 17th, that's XVII in his name, was a way for David Lawrence to distinguish himself from the previous David Lawrences that were already registered with SAG, the Screen Actors Guild. At the time of his own registry, David was the 17th David Lawrence listed on IMDb, and David then appended that number to his own name, and the rest is history. David H. Lawrence, the 17th. As you'll soon tell from our interview, David loves this industry. He loves his work, and he has a passion for all things voice.
I fell in love with radio when I was like in single digits in terms of age. I used to lay awake at night and listen to the Indians games, and I would listen to talk radio and far off stations in New York City and in Windsor, Connecticut, the Big 8, CKLW. I just fell in love with the whole thing and made it my mission to become a radio air personality pretty early in my career.
That, of course, is our guest today, David H. Lawrence, the 17th, who joins us to discuss his consulting work helping actors, voiceover talent, and others through his organization, VO2GoGo.com. That's VO2GoGo.com. We'll put links up, of course, but David will talk about all of that, of course. But we also have an excellent opportunity to learn the secrets behind his teaching in a free video. If you go to notold-better.com/VO, notold-better.com/VO, you'll hear and you will see David's secrets and tips in a free video that are all about understanding what it is that this business is all about. So get those secrets right now. That's notold-better.com/VO. Please join me in welcoming to the show via Skype, David H. Lawrence. Well, David Lawrence, the 17th, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
David, you have been in movies, TV shows, including Heroes, as the evil puppet master. You're the voice of America Online. You're a writer, a technologist, an artist, an entrepreneur. You're a longtime working actor, as well as this really excellent, well-known acting coach and voice coach. I first met you back at, I went back and looked this up, David. I first met you at an NAB event in London where we were both speaking.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that goes back a few years. I think that was almost 10 or 12 years ago, but yeah. But I've stayed in touch with you. Of course, for purposes of transparency, I am taking your classes. We'll get into all of that. But let's start with your story. How'd you first get into all of this? I mean, let's go all the way back into... Yeah.
Let's do that. So I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, and I fell in love with radio when I was like in single digits in terms of age. I used to lay awake at night and listen to the Indians games, and I would listen to talk radio and far off stations in New York City and in Windsor, Connecticut, the Big 8, CKLW. I just fell in love with the whole thing and made it my mission to become a radio air personality pretty early in my career. And that led to almost instant requests for voiceover work in commercials. So, back in the 70s, when I first started doing radio, like I was on the air for maybe 2 weeks at the first big radio station I worked at. It was in Columbus. And I started getting requests for people, hey, do you do commercials? Do you do narration? Things like that. So I was kind of led into it by being in radio.
Fascinating. It really is this wonderful history. And of course, I know a little bit about you, and you're being modest, I'll say, but you have this excellent experience. You you really focus, given kind of this experience, you know, and all of your insights into how to best pursue your career, how to ask the right questions, how to listen, how to conduct yourself in this business. And it's all about this art, science, and commerce, this breadth of really what you're teaching.
Yeah. Well, what I found early on was that everybody falls in love with teaching the art. Everybody falls in love with the art. I fell in love with what DJs sounded like and what talk show hosts, but I didn't know how they got jobs. And I certainly didn't know about the technology that they used to send that stuff my way. Man, I remember when I was a kid, I thought that records had like a white rim around the grooves on the outside of the record, and it would turn black once the singers started singing. I couldn't figure out how the DJs knew when to stop talking when the singers started singing in a song. And talking tight to vocals is a, you know, it turns out there's countdown clocks and there's, you know, it's pretty easy. You don't have to watch the record and see where it changes color. So, you know, I didn't understand the technology, but I became a huge devotee of both the business side of things and the technology side of things, because the people that are most successful aren't just successful at being great artists. You probably know people who have amazing voices or amazing acting skills, but they can't seem to pull the trigger on getting work. And part of that is understanding that the business of the business and the technology that's used in the business, you have to be just as expert at those things as you are at being a great performer, a great storyteller.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Very early on in my career, I was introduced, actually even before, when I was in school, I was introduced to computers. And, you know, I was like any geek, I was fascinated by them. And that sort of thread has woven in and out of my life from the early 70s, understanding how technology and business and the art all works together. And computers obviously have become such a huge part of every facet of our society. But it has done a great deal of disintermediation in the world of performance, both on camera and on mic.
But you're going further to help actors, to help all those that are interested in this voice work with technology. You've created an app, the Rehearsal app and the Rehearsal Pro app. You have this depth of experience and really this very special and unique way of teaching, emphasizing the business with the right tools. So yeah. Describe your coaching style.
First of all, I have to say I'm not a coach. I'm a consultant. And I've come to that realization, shaking my head, going, I guess that's just what I am. Because coaches are trained to ask questions. And I ask a lot of questions, but only when I need information. Coaches sometimes fall into this pattern, and they're coached to do so, of never giving the client the answer. Just ask the right questions so the client can discover. And that drives me crazy. It's like if somebody asks me a question, you know, how do I do this? I want to help them do that, you know? And so that means I'm a consultant more than a coach. You can call me a coach. I certainly help people get better at what they do. But I'm not going to, I just don't think I have the time or you have the time to wait for you to spend an hour exploring options and then discovering the answer. I don't think that the delta between being given the answer and shown how to use it versus you discovering the answer and it being all that much more meaningful to you is that great. And so I tend to part ways with people who coach coaches, and I'll say I'm a consultant. And I do so in a way where I see, I call it the concept of observable realities. When I go to a studio or go on set here in Los Angeles, and I watch and see how the business is being executed, how the production is being done, how the engineers work with producers and how casting works and all that, I want to share with my clients and my students all the latest things that are happening. And so it's not just, I mean, you know, voicing well has been the same for a long, long time. How to do storytelling is an ancient art.
You know, in your capacity as consultant, at least certainly with me, and I've heard you do this with others, it's all about being ready, being smart, being prepared, and especially being prepared for the feedback that you're going to get, because you really treat this as a business, as you've said. And I think my audience needs to recognize that if they're going to pursue this as a business, there are some investments to make, absolutely. But there's some free classes that are available. So tell us a little bit about what the free classes are. And
well, I would, first of all, I would start and say, you know, it's not just people who are in radio and television and film that it's over. It's people who were former or current salespeople, former or current attorneys. I have clients from all walks of life that say, hey, you know, I've been told I have a great voice and I'd like to do voiceover. And my answer to that is, well, how's your storytelling? Because when you do voice work, it's not about reading words well on the page. That's like a baseline. You have to be able to do that well. You have to have good elocution, good pronunciation. But the real trick, and you do this really well, is sucking people into the story, even if it's a commercial, even if it's a prompt you're doing for a phone prompt system, a telephone system, even if it's an e-learning lesson on medical terminology, it doesn't matter. The story is all that counts. And so when I adjust people as they're doing work in our monthly workouts, I always draw them back to the point of the story and serving the audience. And once you get over the hump of, oh, I didn't make a mistake that entire commercial, that's not the metric for success. When you get over the hump and you go, oh, I really revealed the secret of this spot to the person who was listening, to the one audience member that I was talking to, and I think I nailed it, that's when you get to the point where you really start to accelerate. And the free classes that I'm giving as we record this this week are classes that are designed not only to help people who already have voiceover careers book more, but to understand as you enter the world of voiceover what booking is all about. Because there's a lot of auditions in the world of voiceover, a lot more auditions every day because of all the different sources that you can get work from than, say, on camera or on stage. I mean, you could easily be getting between 10 and 25 auditions a day, depending upon your union status and what sites you're signed up with, like Voice123 or Voices.com. And so that's a huge burden, and you can easily fall prey to what I call audition fatigue, where there's so much work to do that you kind of get a little overwhelmed and a little bored, and it's like becomes work, and I don't want it to ever become work. So what I'm teaching this week is called the VO Booking Blueprint, and it's to help people, again, who already are in voiceover book more, but it's also to help people who are new or not yet in voiceover understand the booking process and to set themselves up from the start to do things in a productive and advantageous way.
I've heard you, again, I've known you for a few years, so I have learned much, and I've heard you use this phrase, leap and the net will appear. Yeah. Tell everybody about that, what that means to you.
So I stole that blindly from a casting director that I was in a workshop, and a casting director for commercials, actually. Best workshop in town in Los Angeles. Write me and I'll tell you who it is. I stole it from him because when he said it, it made so much sense to me. Because all along I've been saying, you are enough. You don't have to become a better version of you when you start to do your work. Just be the you that captivates people around you. And if you don't have all the skills you need, you do. But if you figure you don't, it's okay. They will be presented to you the moment you need them. So that's the whole thing about leap, take the risk, do the work. And if you need support, if you need adjustments, if you need changes, they will appear to you the moment that it happens. And so, and that's always been the case, because you have, if you're one of my students, you have me, you have other students, you have the internet. There's so many sources of information on how to do things better. As long as you're committed to what my secret sauce for success is, as long as you're committed to doing more of what works and less of what doesn't, you can't help but get better at what you're doing. And that's what we try to do with these classes.
You really emphasize in all of the classes that I've taken from you to be authentic. And for me, that's always been to relate to my audience, to do things that are kind of keeping within my brand. And you've also used this phrase with me that, you know, you are enough. That's all tied into this whole leap and the net will appear thing, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Authenticity. There's three A's that I go for when I help people with their performance careers, whether it's on mic or on camera. Authenticity, being the you that you really are, not the you that you think you need to become. And you can feel it when you step in front of the mic or sit down in front of the mic or you step in front of the camera and all of a sudden you like hitch your get along and you shoot your cuffs and you like straighten up and change and go, okay, now it's the performing me, you know. And the truth is, doing that one thing can really cripple you in terms of your storytelling skills, because now all of a sudden you have this armor on, this facade that you need to break through. So authenticity is key. It's absolutely trusting that who you are is enough. And the second A is authority. When you do that, you assume more authority than you would if you were trying to fake it. So becoming authentic also lends itself to the authority that you need to influence people. I mean, you're either entertaining them or you're informing them or a combination, or you're making them cry, making them laugh, whatever you're doing. You're trying to sell them something. It depends on the project. But authority and authenticity are the two things that you really need to bear in mind, keep at top of mind when you're doing this thing. And the third one is agility. I want you to be able to do this at the drop of a hat. I don't want you to look at being on mic or being on camera as something that you have to prepare for days, or that you couldn't possibly, like if you had a last minute audition, oh, you couldn't possibly do that. I need to sit with the copy for a while. And the truth is, this is one of those skills where you don't need any toolbox, right? It's not like you're a plumber and you need wrenches and screwdrivers and whatnot. You just sort of show up and do the work, and you carry the tools that you need around with you inside your body. So it's really important to me that you're agile and can do it whenever you want. And I know there are some people who get really scared when they have to jump in front of a camera, or they have to jump in front of a microphone, or they go on stage in front of a live audience. I help them through the courses turn that from being scared, being afraid, to being excited and being, you know, sort of focused, turning that feeling into something that's positive.
Well, the tools that you offer, these are just very, very valuable, certainly for my audience, who are either as a result of choice or need, they're delaying their retirement. This really offers some interesting work for those who enjoy creativity. Maybe they've got a little bit of a technology interest. They ultimately want to delay their retirement and do some of this kind of work. What do you suggest?
I just hope that if you decide you want to be in this business, you are open to all of the different options that you have. There are people who come to me and they say, I think I could do animation. I could be the next Disney princess. And I say, sir, they'll say these things, and I'll say, well, okay, if you want to be the next Disney princess, your first job is to become a celebrity, because they're not hiring unknowns anymore. So go get on TMZ somehow and rant and rave and, you know, become very, very popular, and then you'll be able to be a part of that whole world. That doesn't mean you can't do the hundreds of other things, including animation. You can do all these other things: commercials, narration, digital work online. I mean, there's just audiobooks. There's just tons of stuff. And what I want to do is help you get where you need to be able to make this either a side job or your main job. I want you to have a satisfying and profitable voiceover career.
David Lawrence, the 17th, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Paul.
My thanks to our guest today, David H. Lawrence, the 17th, whose consulting and training is available now. We have a limited time offer from David for a free video of secrets and tips at notold-better.com/VO. Please check that out. We will post links to everything. And as usual, you'll find that information and more. But also, as usual, my thanks to you, the listeners, for joining me today. Your time is valuable, and I'm grateful you're spending some of it with me today. I'm always interested in feedback. You can leave that at iTunes, Google Play, or send me an email at info@notold-better.com. That's info@notold-better.com. Stay tuned for our next show, another great one, as we talk about Better, the Not Old Better Show. Thanks to all, and happy holidays.